I wouldn't consider myself a jealous person, nor would I consider myself someone that desires what other people have, but I have been in my feelings. If my jealousy and envy and covetousness were towards a person, then I believe God would fix that and fix it rather quick. But I have been feeling this way towards God, asking God, why not me? All aboard to Chatting with Charity. Today's destination is, what do you do when God doesn't pick you?
You're tuning in to Chatting with Charity.
Hey, riders, you're tuning back into the number one podcast that takes rides that change lives. I'm your girl, Charity Gashenge, and I'm so excited to be here. I actually really love saying that whole intro because I'm like, yes, girl, you feeling it. I'm feeling it. I've been at this, about almost 50 rides now, and I'm starting to get more and more comfortable. So there you go. 50 is a lot, and I'm only just now getting comfortable. But anyways, I wanted to talk to you guys about love. It was so set on my heart to talk about that because your girl is a lover girl, and I'm in the season now where I need my helpmate because life is getting very difficult to just think, to create, to live, to exist, and to experience life. I'm ready for my partner. So I'm like, Lord, come on, give me that word because I got to tell my writer something amazing. And God gave me nothing. So then I said, all right, so what are we going to talk about tomorrow? Because it's 3 a.m. in the morning and I have to get up and prepare to ride. And the Lord literally dealt with me with an issue that was on my heart. And as I said in the intro, I have been getting so jealous about what God is doing for other people that he should be doing for me. I'm not jealous of those other people, but I feel I am better for the job. That is called pride. But I want to get into this deeper so you could understand that it's not really jealousy. It's not really envy. It's not really pride. It's something a little bit more colorful. And I talk about this because we're in this era now where everyone is talking about God. Everybody from the pulpit to OnlyFans to the club, okay, to Hip Hop Atlanta, anything you can imagine, people are talking about God. His name is spiraling. And I have to ask myself, like, well, where do I fit at in this? Because I've been in this journey for so long and I haven't been trying to turn God into a business, but I do know that God is my business. So God, what are you doing for me to let me know that you haven't forgotten about me? Because that person with 3 million followers who just decided to start loving you again tomorrow has this platform that I can't compete with my 500 followers and my 10 listeners. This is just not adding up. The math is not adding. So then now I'm like, okay, Father, teach me what it is that I'm doing wrong. So the Lord has been helping me understand how to balance this madness in my heart, because I do have a desire and a purpose to serve him. I have ministry in my belly and I have to find a way to compete with that. Let me take it back. Not compete with people, compete with the principalities and the people who have raised those people up. They've been raised up to have these millions of followers. Whatever raised them, okay? The girl is in competition with that force and that power. But whatever and however God chooses to use someone to bring him glory, that's his business. But now I know I'm up against one of those, I'm going to call it a Hollywood machine. I don't got a Hollywood machine behind me. I got a holy machine. And that Holy Ghost got to get to going, you know? Anyways, let's not divert, because when the Lord gave me this understanding of what I was dealing with, it was so, okay? We're going to go to the book of Genesis chapter 4. In the beginning, okay? A lot of us have never left Genesis when it comes to studying the Bible. So I know that you are doing well and you will understand the story very proper because you have not left Genesis, okay? I'm sure I don't know if you know what's next. Ha ha ha. Okay, so listen. We are starting at the beginning of when this idea of jealousy begins. Yes, with Cain and Abel. And the story is so simple because you're like, okay, God was like, hey, what's up? And they were like, these are our offerings. And then God was like, okay, Abel, I like your offering. I'll take it. And with Cain, he was like, nah, I don't want that one. You need to go back and figure it out. And then instead of Cain going back to figure it out, he decided to go and kill Abel instead. Then when the blood of Abel was crying out, God came back and asked Cain, what did you do? And Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? I just gave you the very nursery rhyme of that story. But I want us to get to verse 4-5 that says, the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. What I realized in this moment, right? When Cain felt that moment of downcast, it was because he really wanted God to accept his offering. That's how I feel. As much as I thought that Cain was a horrible person, I get it. When you worship God and you want to please God, his rejection of whatever you have to offer is deeply painful. I want God to pick me. I want God to choose me. I am the right person for the job. But then he says to me, no. No, you need to go back. And I'm like, huh? All right, Lord, I'm gonna go back. And then when I think about why Cain killed Abel, I don't think that Cain killed Abel until he realized that God favored the other brother more. When you have the favor of God upon your life, you are going to get instantaneous jealousy. And a lot of people, and I have to stop using this word a lot of people because I've been exhausting it on these rides, but there are people who have the favor of God upon their life, even if it doesn't look like they live a life that is worthy of God's image or existence. I don't decide that, but it is your truth. There is favor that's upon people, like even the Sauls of the world. Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. You, even when it came to Cain, God casted Cain out into the wilderness to go and live his life in chaos. But he's like, yo, if you send me out there, God, they're going to kill me. And God said, no, don't worry. I'll make sure I put a certain protection around you so when they see you, they won't kill you. So God still has favor and preserves people that do him wrong. That's his business. That's your business in prayer. But I'm still leaning into this Cain thing because now that Abel is dead, right? And there's Cain here. I like to think that our existence and our evolution went through Cain. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? I said, oh God, okay, I get it. You're talking to me in this. I'm that person who you're saying, Charity, why are you angry? Charity, why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, Charity, will you not be accepted? Oh my God, that blew my mind. Because it's so quick for us to be mad that God doesn't react to our actions without realizing that maybe we ain't going hard enough for him. Maybe we aren't on the right path. Maybe we need to go back into prayer and figure it out and understand what is God really asking us to do. So God isn't rejecting me. God is not uplifting other people ahead of me. He's saying to me, Charity, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? If I know I am doing what is right and what God has called me to do, it's my responsibility to humble myself and to know that I am accepted. I am accepted. But then in that same conversation between Cain and God, part two of that says, if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Let me put this piece back together because you got to get it. Cain got two responses from God. And I believe that in this season, in this time, there are two categories. There are those believers who have really been tarrying with God, looking for him to show up mightily. And then there are those believers who are at a crossroads. And although they've built and gained their wealth in these certain areas, God has put pressure upon their hearts to understand that sin is crouching at their door. And if they don't change their life, sin is going to take them over and rule over them. And then I sat back and I said, well, When you put it that way, God, I'm better with my 500 followers being accepted by God than having 3 million followers and having to battle that sinful thing inside of you in front of the world. God deals with some people in private, but those who delay themselves, they are there trying while the whole world is watching. This is why it's not good to be jealous and envious of people, because you don't know what their season requires. You don't know what their anointing requires, and you don't know what they have to sacrifice. Okay? On the other side. So when I look at these two options and these two conversations and these two groups within Cain's conversation with God, I keep moving on and I'm saying to myself, like, okay, Charity, why are you asking God to pick you? When you say, God, why not me? What is the answer to that question? And I had to ask myself, why is having more than 10 followers important to you? My response is because God, like I just said earlier on my YouTube side, it's hot in here. Gabriel's about to wake up in 2 seconds. I'm just stressing to do all of this work. And I feel like it deserves to be seen by more people. You know, when you talk some of this stuff out, you start to sound real prideful and crazy, because salvation and bringing people to God is literally the only task you have. And if you only do 10 people, that is important in God's eyes. If you have 3 million followers, it does not mean you're bringing 3 million people to Christ. Period. Okay? So slow and steady is the mission here. But now I'm being convicted because I'm like, well, God, what do I have then? Show me what I have. And I got to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I said, okay, God, I've got those things. Some of them I'm still working on, but for the majority, I do have the fruit of the Spirit. And that is when the Lord helped me to understand that what you're working in and what you're cultivating is not where you get your reward. For you to be able to build something for God and still have the fruits of the Spirit is how you win. Some of us are in the season where we have the fruit, but we ignore it because we're looking at what the world and culture has created, feeling like we're missing out. You're not missing out on anything. If you tap into what God has given you, you will realize you've actually already won. And it's just waiting for you to get to a point in your life where your season pops off, and then God can show what he's been doing inside of you, and you can be evidence, because it's really important that the fruit that you bear shows the God inside of you. But a lot of these people, again, who have had to experience that second part of Cain's conversation with God, where they have sin knocking at their door and they have to fight it in public, for them to carry people along with them, no matter how much they love God, is very challenging because they're being dealt with in a very public space. So I'm just saying, two birds on one stone. What is the thing called? Two sides, two arrows. You know how it is. Both sides are sharp. I'm just glad I'm on the other side, personally. And it also says in the Bible that the vision is for a yet appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. The things that God has decided for your life to happen is for a yet appointed time. It is going to happen, and your faithfulness has to carry you through these seasons of doubt where you see other people doing things that you wish you could do because you know you put in more work to do it. In the corporate world, there's things called seniority. Is that the word seniority? Yes. Where you put in a year, you get promoted, you become manager, you become this, you become that. In the kingdom of God, there is something called favor, which I've just spoken about. The favor of God, when it decides to fall on you, all of that order that is in the cultural world, in the real world, does not exist in the kingdom of God. He is the controller of time, so he will move these pieces around like chess, and the rest of us will just be there shocked. Because how did God do that? He's God. And God does things in a very calculated but careful way. So then I'm just sitting here like, well, God, how am I supposed to navigate this next season of my life, or this season that I'm in, where you've promised to excel me, you've promised to propel me, you've promised to let this race be a sprinting one, and it feels like I'm still jogging. The Lord helped me to understand that me telling God that I'm ready is evidence of my faith. Me walking that thing out is proof of my faith. Just because you decide today that you're ready, it doesn't mean that God is going to do it tomorrow. You have to allow your actions to be the evidence of your faith. This culture today, I don't get it. Even the more that I find myself wanting to learn about God and seeing how weird the community and the church community is, and some of the things that they say, I don't know where it comes from, but these are people and leaders that we're leaning on to. When you see the person who used to be a stripper now trying to teach you about God, trust me, God can use anybody the same exact way, okay? He was getting water, and the lady, I forgot the story, but she basically had a couple of husbands, and none of her husbands belonged to her. And God had, you know, asked her, could he get water? And I should pull that verse up because it's a really funny conversation, but we're going to get to that when we talk about the ride for love, because I'm telling you, God is so funny how he used Jesus to show us what the world of love looked like here in this atmosphere. But let's get back to the topic. So now here I am in my frustration, and God is explaining to me that you are for an appointed season. Your job, okay, your job is to stay ready so you don't have to get ready. My job is to make sure that when it's my season and it's my turn, I have cleaned this house. I refined myself. I've practiced. When they say today, Charity, are you ready? Yes, actually I am. I've been practicing for the past 10 years. I'm ready for this moment. I'm ready for this moment. And when God was dealing with my confidence, which is something that I've been very vocal about, when God has been dealing with my confidence, he's been helping me to first be able to admit to myself that I can even do it. And now that I've decided, yes, I can do this, I have to now prove it to myself and to God that when he gives me my opportunity, I can do it. It's so easy for the people that have the mansions, that have the Range Rovers and the big Benz, the G-Wagons and the diamonds and the rubies, and they've been flown to Paris on the yachts. It's so easy for them to decide, oh, I've lived this life, now I want to give my life to God. Because it all comes to a point in time where you realize that all of these riches you stored up don't give you the fruits of the spirit. You have no peace. You have no joy. You have no sound mind. You're just running around with demons around you. And every single day you're living, it doesn't amount to anything. This is why rich people and wealthy people kill themselves, because there's still an emptiness that's there. But then there's us, at least me down here, like, okay, Lord, it's very calm and peaceful, but I'm looking to be that boss. I want to be a boss, babe. I want to have this being successful and that being successful and this and that and this. And I want my kids to be like this. And I just see my life in full bloom. But I am still there gardening, okay? Hands dirty, sweating by my brow, okay? Sweating to make anything happen. And it is such a humbling place, because when God takes me where I need to be, I will not take a second of that for granted. When I'm at a Met Gala and they're there dressing me and adoring me like a baby doll, I am not taking any of it for granted, because there was a time, and it's called this time, where I got my hands dirty, where I figured out how to get my kids to sleep, run to do the podcast, look decent, because people like to look at decent looking people, right? And this is also the kind of, you know, person I want to be in the future. So I got to get my thing together. But I decided that if God has given me the tools and the resources to do it, I need to do it with what I have. And when it transitions and I no longer have to do these things, I'm going to be so grateful for everyone around me, because I knew what it took when I have to do all of those things by myself. And maybe perhaps that's the kindness that God is offering me right now, is to appreciate hardworking people and to respect them and to build a team of kind people. Because I will fire you because I could do it myself. So anyways, here we are back to the place where we ask ourselves, God, why not me? You've already been chosen. Don't ask God, why not you? Just continue to prepare for when it's going to be you. Because faith is understanding that you actually already have it. It's just coming. It's kujaying, as we like to say in the Swahili language. It's coming to you. Continue to prepare yourself, continue to work, and stop looking at what other people are able to do with the God that we serve, and just be grateful that God saved another life. Be grateful that God is working in this atmosphere and things are changing and things are going to get better. That is what we have to focus on, because we're all in the same fight. And that is to bring as many people to Christ as we can, to bring this ride up to the curbside. When David was anointed, he went back out to still continue to be a shepherd of sheep. Even when he stopped doing that and he went to go and fight Goliath, his brothers were so mad at him because he was only going there to bring them some food or some items or whatever. And then he said, oh, I can do it. And they weren't happy with that. Then when David went to go and serve Saul, okay, Saul got these evil spirits inside of him, and David is still serving him relentlessly, playing the music for him. The music he worships with God, he's playing for this man, trying to kill him and to settle this man's evil spirits. And that same man is chasing him all around town, trying to kill him. And when David finally was able to sneak up on Saul and get right over top of him, and he cut a piece of his garment off and let him know, hey, I could have killed you, but I didn't. And even when David did that, he repented to God, because he understood that when God shows favor to people and we are out there like David, being chased after the people and persecuted by the people who should be supporting us, the people who should understand that we're next in succession, they don't care about that. They want to kill us. But regardless of what you think about a person, the favor of God is for him to instruct. And that's what makes him miraculous and remarkable, because that same favor he gives to your neighbor and to your fold and to the people that persecute you is the same favor he's going to give to you when it's your season. But the difference is that you have a relationship with God. So when God shows up and gives you favor, it's going to feel different. It's going to connect with you different. And that's the luxury you have by being patient and waiting and not asking God, why not me? But saying, God, I'm ready when you're ready to use me. Well, riders, it looks like we've reached our destination. This was amazing to me, and I hope you love this. I thank you for riding with me, and I will see you next time on another ride of Chatting with Charity. Don't forget to bring your friends. I love you for riding. Bye.
You're tuning in to Chatting with Charity.